Okay, before we get started today, I want to give you a little apology in advance. This is a fabulous interview that we did with Lisa Jones, but we had severe technical difficulties, internet cutouts, and so forth. So I wanted to apologize in advance. If you see here, you know, conversations cut out halfway through and then pick up in odd places, I'm patching it together as best I can. What we did get is fabulous. I wish we could have gotten more. I apologize to Lisa and listeners for the bit of a botched job. But we did the best we could. We put it together, and I think you'll still very much enjoy the interview, and I hope you'll check out her stuff. So here we go. Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast, the official source of audio accounts for the Near Death Experience Research Foundation. I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Life in the Spirit World, What Near-Death Experiences May Teach About Life on the Other Side. And today we have Lisa Jones on the line we're interviewing. So Lisa, hello.
Hi, Chaz. How are you doing today?
I'm great. And you're good with us recording this today?
I sure am.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Well, why don't you start out by introducing yourself and maybe talk about your program and some of the things you do, so forth.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Lisa Jones, and I have a podcast called Exploring Death. And the way I got interested in the whole death scenario is that when I was 37, I lost my first husband to a 7-year battle with lymphoma cancer. And although I didn't have an actual near-death experience where I didn't have any physical ailment or anything that brought me to the other side. But the night that my husband died, I actually left my body, and it was actually escorting him, but I arrived in heaven just before he arrived. And it was the most transformational experience of my entire life.
Oh, wow. So that definitely qualifies as a shared death experience. And I'm fascinated by those, especially simply because, you know, all the arguments that people have against near-death experiences, saying, oh, it's the dying brain and all that stuff. When you look at shared death experiences, suddenly that just blows that out of the water. It just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, absolutely, because there was nothing physically wrong with me whatsoever. And in fact, I'll just share the story.
Please.
excuse me. It actually started on a Friday. My husband had been battling cancer for 7 years, and he woke up that morning completely incoherent and unable to really move his body, which scared me because that was the first time that had happened. So I called his doctor, and we called hospice, and they came over, I guess it was on Saturday, to get us on to the hospice schedule. And they said, you know, he actually looks pretty good. It's probably going to be 2 or 3 weeks before he dies. And I was beside myself. I had been taking care of him by myself, along with our two children, who were 1 and 3 when he was diagnosed, and then 8 and 10 when he passed away. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that day, both his brother and best friend arrived. And at that point, I had not experienced death in my life. All my grandparents were still living, except I had lost one, I guess, when I was very young, but I was too young to understand that part. So I didn't know what I was going to do when he died, other than I was raised very religiously, and he hadn't been baptized. He was asleep in our bed, and my children were at his mother's house. So I went and slept in my daughter's room while his brother and best friend sat with him. And I just prayed to God and the angels. And I just said, you know, please help me, help us, give us help at this point. And I lay down. And so, you know, I was in a sleeping state. However, I felt my body, my spirit leave my body. And the next thing I know, I was in, for lack of a better word, heaven. And it was the most exquisite experience I've ever had in this lifetime. It was more real than what we have here on this earth plane. It was the most loving. I mean, I'm like just welling up right now, just even thinking about it, because it was so loving. And it was almost like a castle with an open air rooftop, you know, like there was no ceiling. It was just open air. Yeah. And there were the gold and platinum and colors that I can't even explain because we don't have them here. And there were banners flowing and trumpets, you know, playing, and this announcement that was saying the Grand Mr. Ian Sharp is about to arrive. And all these souls were just coming together and gathering, and there was so much excitement closer into this main square area where I guess that was the arrival spot. And then all of a sudden, this giant door started to open. And everybody turned and looked and just started cheering. And they're like, he's here, he's here.
Oh, that's so
and
cool.
It brings me to tears. It was extraordinary. And right at that moment, as he was just stepping through, I didn't see him. But right at that moment, all of a sudden, knock, knock, knock. Lisa, wake up, wake up. And it was his brother knocking on my daughter's bedroom door. And it felt like a trap door just opened up from where I was at. And my soul just fell right back into my body. And I jumped out of bed and I was exhilarated. I was filled with joy and happiness because I knew that he was going to this amazing place. I went down to my bedroom and I could see that he was not in his body. You know, his body was literally a shell. And it just absolutely, you know, transformed my whole, the most difficult thing I've ever had to do. But I was getting myself ready. And as I was blow drying my hair, all of a sudden his voice was right in my ear, my left ear. And he just said, oh, Lisa, I love you, but it is so awesome here. He was where I saw him going. And it was just amazing.
Wow. Oh, that's so beautiful. What was your immediate reaction after having experienced this? And, you know, were you previously, did you have, you talked about, you were worried about him because of baptism and so forth. And so you must have had some kind of religious idea of this. How much of this was a surprise and how much of it was kind of like, oh, okay, this is what I've always understood kind of thing.
Right. Well, immediately after, I truly believe it just shook my entire foundation of my religious understanding, because I was brought up to follow the rules and that you have to follow the rules in order to, you know, get into heaven and all those things. So once I saw that he was going there without being baptized, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, this isn't true. This is, you know, this was made up. And several other factors started supporting that situation as well, including the priest that came over that morning to support me ended up talking much more about him and his retirement and wanting to know what to do with all his theology books rather than supporting me in my moment of dire grief.
Yeah.
And I just was like, this is a man-made thing, you know, he's not here to support me. He's here to talk about himself. So I left the church. I couldn't understand, you know, how that worked anymore.
And what was your religious faith before?
I was brought up Lutheran, and then I later got married in the Episcopal Church.
Okay, okay, yeah, I was just curious. And how do you feel like your religious or spiritual values are now in comparison with then?
So my religious and spiritual beliefs now are very different from what they were before, as I no longer attend any kind of church and I have a direct connection with the divine. I meditate every day, usually an hour, and connect to my higher self and to the angels and ascended masters and anybody else out there. I've got this group called the Beings of Love and Light that helped me channel. I started doing mediumship work after this. I used to be a certified public accountant, so this was a huge shift.
A big
for
career
me
change there
in my life. Yes, a huge career change. And actually, that came from my husband. He was a tax attorney for a large corporation, and about a week before he died, he said to me, "Wow, I really regret my career choice. I wished I had helped more people while I was here." And that really broke my heart at the time. And he was 44 when he died. I was 37. And it wasn't until I was approaching my 44th birthday, when I was still working at a hedge fund, that I realized, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to have the opportunity to live a day longer, or hopefully much longer than my husband, who died at 44. I need to quit and start doing the spiritual work. So I quit And in fact, I gave my notice and they ended up saying, well, if you stay two more weeks, we'll give you $10,000. I'm like, okay. And then right after that, things just started unfolding. I ended up being asked if I wanted a stage show. And I did that for 125 people. The next year, 500 people showed up. I started doing a radio show just outside New York, Monday Morning Medium, and wrote a book. And it just kept flowing from there.
Interesting. So do you feel like your abilities, spiritual abilities, did they come from the experience, or are they something that maybe you had all along, but that kind of awakened them in you? What's your feeling about that?
Yeah, great question, Chaz. I truly believe everybody has this ability to communicate to the other side. I definitely had a lot of connections beforehand, but was not aware of them. And so this was a complete, really awakening, especially with my husband talking to me directly after that evening. I just, many more things started unfolding after that. So I think I got kind of an accelerated education.
Yeah.
You know, but I do teach people how to communicate to the other side, and it's really powerful.
That's interesting, because I've wondered about that a little bit. I hear sometimes, you know, people who have had near-death experiences, shared death experiences, say, you know, that this is something that everybody can do. I almost wonder if it's the kind of thing where, you know, having had that experience kind of wakens you to know what it is that you're trying to reach for, whereas other people, you know, are kind of like, I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to feel or think. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think when somebody has a near-death experience or a shared death experience, it does kind of awaken something within you, because suddenly it's like, oh my gosh, there's something out there. There's something more that I need to connect to. And, you know, but at the same time, I do believe everyone has the ability. It's just a matter of wanting to have that desire to work on it. You know, I always equate it to like playing. And other people end up taking years and years of lessons, and they eventually learn and get better. So it's just a matter of how much desire you have to learn and practice and connect.
Oh, that's so interesting. I'd love to go back for a minute. You talked about when you were there in the spirit world in heaven. You described a little bit, it was like a castle and so forth. Can you give us any more detail about the kinds of things that you saw? That's like one of my favorite things about the other side, is just those little details that they're just fun to me and fascinating.
Going to the other side and the details over there, it was so interesting to me, because I really didn't talk much about it. And in fact, in my book, there's only maybe a paragraph or two about my shared death experience, because I didn't know it was something so amazing, you know, or I just thought it was something I had. And it was many years later that I started reading a few books about near-death experiences. And then I realized, oh my gosh, wait, other people have had a very similar experience and are experiencing very similar things to me. So it was very validating when I started reading other people's books. And so a lot of what other people have said is also what I experienced, you know, the colors that are undescribable, and just the, like I said, for me, it was very much of a castle experience with, you know, castle walls. It was very thick and heavy. And I mean, there was no dirt or dust or any kind of, it was just perfection. It's, I feel like I'm not describing it very well. I'm seeing it in my mind, but it's right. Very difficult to put into words. But for example, the souls that I was seeing, they didn't seem to be like angels. They were very distinguishable, very individualized, and just beautiful light beings that were gathering together.
Oh, that is so cool. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your program and maybe any websites where people could get a hold of you if they're interested in learning more.
Exploring Death with Lisa Jones. And my website is actually millionairemedium.com. And that's actually another kind of funny story, is that the night that my husband died, not only did I become a medium because he started talking to me, but I also became a millionaire, which I didn't realize he had a life insurance about how to talk to people on the other side. But I also had to deal with suddenly coming into a lot of money and dealing with that, which has also been, some people might think, oh, yay, you know, you've got all that money. But it's actually you know, with more money comes more issues and concerns and, you know, worrying about not losing it. So, so anyway, my guides ultimately said, you need to step up and own who you are. You're the millionaire medium. So that's the title of my website.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, Lisa, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us before we close up?
Well, if you don't mind, I would love to do a little card reading. Would you be open for that?
Sure.
Yeah, I have these cards called soul coaching cards, and I just thought I would see what the other side has to say about this. And this is something I do on my show when I introduce or when I interview people. I do a little card reading for
them.
That's
fabulous.
So I thought I'd do one for you.
I'd love that.
Okay. So what I'm getting is this is really an overall message for everybody about life and really what the key is. And so the first card is always the blockage card, and the card that came up is pleasure. So if you're not feeling pleasure in your life, that means you're blocked. And because that is our birthright, we're here to feel pleasure and to experience pleasure. So the action card is fulfillment. You need to follow what it is in your life that fulfills you. And if you're in a job that you don't like, that's a clue. That's telling you something. That means you need to look for something that's going to be much more fulfilling for you. And it's the same with a relationship. You know, if it's not working, then either work on it or, you know, it's time to move on. But the last thing you need to do is to be in a situation where you're not feeling fulfilled, because that's what we're truly here on this earth to you know, learn how to find that fulfillment in our life. And then once you start really taking those steps toward creating the life that you want, you're going to have the inspiration, which will then fuel further and further, you know, more pleasure in your life. And it'll just start working for you much, you know, better than it is. So that's really, you know, what I'm getting for people is that, you know, you control your life. And if you're not happy, that's a clue. And you need to just take a step to start working on what will make you happy. And really, that's why we're here on this earth, is to find our happiness and to enjoy life. And if it's not working, then it's your job to step forward and start making it work better.
Oh, I love that you bring that up, because we have a lot of listeners that I've had a lot contact me and saying they're, you know, trying to find their purpose, their reason for being here, and they're trying to figure out what their life mission, life work should be, and so forth, and they're struggling with it, and so hearing that message is really powerful.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and I get that question a lot as well from clients. You know, they want me to tell them through the angels or through spirit what their purpose is, and the same answer keeps coming through, which is, it's not for the angels to tell you. It's not for anyone to tell you joy. And the more that you can tap into what brings you joy, that's how you're going to find your passion and purpose in this lifetime.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, Lisa, can you tell us the name of your book and how people can get a hold of you if they'd like to learn
more?
Oh,
sure. Yeah. The name of my book is called The Art of Living Happy After the Loss of a Loved One, and that is on Amazon. And again, they can go to my website, millionairemedium.com. You can send me an email to lisaexploringdeath@gmail.com. And of course, I'd love for you to go to my podcast.
Well, thank you so much,
okay,
Lisa.
Great.
This has been a pleasure.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Okay, and thank you all of you listeners for putting up with that little bit glitchy show, but I think you got the message. We will include links to Lisa's works and podcast in the show notes for this episode. If you would like to contact the podcast, either to leave a comment, ask a question, or to share your own near-death experience, you can do so by emailing neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com or by calling 970-NDE-CAST. And again, thank you all of you so much for listening.